Sheriff, this is no time to panic.
This is the perfect time to panic!
I'm Steve Benson.
And I'm Paul Schultz.
And this is the Don't Panic Radio Show. Sit back, relax, and ignore the news, because nothing you're about to hear is true. And it's time for another show.
Is it that time already?
Try that in my NPR voice. Yeah. And it's time once again for the Don't Panic Radio Show.
Salutations.
Salutations. It's funny. They never say salutations, do they? We were listening to NPR the other day on a short road trip. Mm. And we're on our way to a horse barn. Mm. And ironically. And we were listening to one of those quiz shows. I don't know. I get them all confused. They all have that same, like, folksy guy, like, oh shucks. And whenever anybody says a cuss word like heck or darn, they all are like, oh gosh, wow, we're getting really rambunctious today, aren't we, Alistair? And it's their version of letting loose, you know. They're loosening their ties. They're mm-hmm. they have their weekend cool rimmed glasses on. You know, maybe they didn't put quite as much product in their hair. Left the scarf at home, maybe. And they're like, oh, we're going to be funny. We're never funny. Let's be not serious for a little while.
They're like church funny.
Church funny. And they had this quiz show. And one of the things is, like, you got to something about, I have no idea what the quiz show is about. But they mentioned that. In Indianapolis, so Indianapolis came up on national public radio. Mm-hmm. Someone carjacked someone at an ATM. So these two dudes come up, you know, it's a drive-up ATM. Mm-hmm. They jerk the dude out of his car. They hop in, you know, of course take the money that he just withdrew, and they take off. So the guy, you know, calls 911, and the cops are like, yeah, you know, we're on our way. Can you give a description? We can tell you about the car, tell you what direction they went. And they're, you know, he's on the phone with them. They're like, well, he hears sirens and stuff. They're on route. You know, a lot of times we don't catch people, but, you know, we'll do our best. What's that? Oh, hang on. Hold on, sir. Oh, well, we caught him. The guy's like, what? It was like 30 seconds ago. Well, so it turns out they carjacked this guy's car. They peel out, they head down a road, and the potholes were so bad that they blew out two tires and wrecked the car. So I know that I've been complaining about the potholes in Indianapolis. I've been saying, yes. What's it going to take? Is somebody going to have to be killed by a pothole before they're going to fix them? But now, I swear to God, I'm never going to get those damn potholes fixed.
No, now they're a crime deterrent.
Now they're saving lives.
That's right.
And you know, if one life is saved, it's worth it.
Change the channel, Marge!
All right, before we get too far into things, I'm really excited. Everybody, I'm sure, is waiting for this announcement. So I'm just going to go ahead and make the announcement first.
We can get too far into things pretty rapidly.
So. That's what we're known for.
That's right.
Anything worth getting into is worth getting too far into. We, as you know, this is March. Mm-hmm. March is known for several things. Madness. Mm-hmm. Supposedly spring, although we haven't seen much of that yet. Pi Day.
That's right.
Yeah. And even more importantly, the big... spectacular live birthday special.
That's right.
And if you hear my voice now, you're like less than a week away.
Right.
So it'll be the evening of Saturday, March 31st. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to tell you that that Paul's going to be here in my studio.
That's right.
With Uncle Carl.
Mm-hmm.
I hesitate to announce the cat. Oh, I'm just going to tell you who we think's going to be here.
Yes.
And we hope's going to be here. MP Cavalier.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember Hollywood, right?
That's right.
Jim? Is Jim going to be here?
Maybe.
Or is he too busy doing hoity-toity stuff at the convention?
I will definitely invite him to it.
Okay. So Jim, who you guys have heard us talk about. Who else? Who am I forgetting?
Robert Vaughn.
Robert Vaughn. Truckee. Dirty D. The occasion, there's a few occasions. The big one is my birthday is on April 2nd.
That's right.
And Paul's birthday is on April 9th. And every year, if you've been a longtime listener, you know this. But if not, if you're kind of new to the show, we try to do a live show around Christmas and then another one around our birthday. So March 31st in the evening. And we'll, as we get closer, we'll give you an exact time. But
yes,
we're going to do a Facebook Live during the show. Mm-hmm. Of course, we'll be recording it. And then Paul will work his producer magic and we'll release the edited recorded version later in that week. But if you want to see it live, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because you can ask questions. Although we're going to have half of our listeners here. But for the half who aren't lucky enough to be here, you can send us questions. We'll answer them live on the show.
Now, I would like to mention that I will be, that'll be the weekend of the Indiana Comic Con, and that's why I'll be down there for part of the reason I'll be down there. And I'll be down there with Jim McLean, and I've extended the invitation to Woody. Woody will be at Indiana Comic Con on one of those days.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to invite him to show up at the after party, at our Don't Panic after party. That would be awesome if we could get him to show up. And anybody else who I run into on Friday and Saturday, I will of course invite to your house. So if strippers show up or cosplayers show up,
hobos,
if they show up
selling Girl Scout cookies,
that's right. That's like a call forward. If they show up, you know, let them in. If they say, Paul sent us, just let him in. But if a Unabomber, if a Unabomber in a plaid, you know, face mask, you know, plaid scarf shows up and says Paul lets him in, you know, don't let him in.
The snow falls ominously in Moscow.
That's right.
Okay, come in. As long as you don't have that plutonium 132 in your pocket or whatever, whatever Putin does. Okay, so the big news, Indiana Comic Con is coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
When you're listening to this. This weekend, Indiana Comic Con. If you're going to be at Indiana Comic Con, don't miss the after party. Wow, I like the sound of that. The Don't Panic after party. That means I'm going to have to go out and buy some booze from Costco. Because they got those big-ass bottles.
The ones that go boom when you drop them on the floor because they're plastic.
That's right. And some beer, maybe you know, Woody's coming, so I better not get the marijuana because he's very conservative. I'll have a few Bibles laying around for Woody in case he needs to, in case he runs out of rolling papers. Okay, that's enough of that. I know we got a show to do here, and we probably better get on with it.
That's right.
So just remember, March 31st, tune in. We'll give you more details. It'll be sometime in the evening, the Don't Panic after party.
And if you're at Indiana Comic Con, come find me. You can't miss me. I look just like I do in the pictures.
What a time.
Speaking of lives being saved, this happened, I think in Texas, maybe. Mm-hmm. I forget where exactly. Maybe Arizona. I don't know. Anyway, so a pedestrian was killed by a self-driving Uber car, right?
Hmm.
So Uber shut down all of their testing for these self-driving cars.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, oh, somebody died. We got to shut it down, right? which I understand. It's a PR thing. It's a regulatory thing.
Well, you know, and somebody did get killed. So, yeah, I would look into the flaw.
Thank you for teeing that up. You set I Spike.
That's right. Yes, I set you Spike. You're taller than I am.
Let's talk about that flaw for a second. So I don't know the details.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only thing that was in the story was there was a, quote, safety driver in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the person that it hit mm-hmm. was not in the crosswalk. Okay. I'm not saying that you deserve to die just because you're not in the crosswalk. It's just a small detail, right?
Yeah.
So, however, a person did die, right? So let's talk mm-hmm. about what that flaw is that the self-driving car caused. First of all, says right in the article, this would be the first time there's been a fatality involved with a self-driving car. Okay. First time. They've been on the roads. Now, admittedly, not in huge numbers, but in the thousands for mm-hmm. 3-4 years. That's the first one. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say for a second that it's relatively better at not killing people than people driven cars.
It appears that as soon as people are introduced into the equation, that's when somebody dies.
Yeah, usually if there's no person involved, nobody dies, right?
Well, I mean, as far as... Yeah. And it was at that moment that Paul realized what he had said.
My point is, while I've been talking, in the last 30 seconds, I'll bet 5 people have been hit by cars and killed.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
4 of those were drunk drivers. And, mm-hmm. and so... I don't know the statistics, and I'm not going to look it up because this ain't that kind of show. But let's be conservative. Let's say it's in the hundreds of people die every year getting hit by a human-driven car. Okay,
sure.
And I don't think it's a huge leap to say autonomously driven vehicles probably are a bit safer and probably would kill a lot fewer people, even if there were millions of them on the road. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the flaw in this car is that it doesn't kill 0 people. It kills way fewer, right? But then people mm-hmm. go, "Well, but if that was your mom that got hit by that, I mean, what would you if it's your family that gets killed and I go, "All right, so I got to work up an ethical framework, like a philosophical framework for this, right?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because here's the other thing people do with autonomous cars. They'll go, and there have been NPR shows of it. This is Alistair Powers. And this is NPR. We're talking about autonomous vehicles. Hello, Chesterfield. Have you ever driven an autonomous vehicle? Of course you haven't.
Think about what you just asked.
Of course you haven't. Because it's autonomous.
That's right.
What I was saying, nevertheless... I was going to say anyway, but they don't say anyway on NPR.
No.
Nevertheless.
No, they have a list of synonyms.
Yeah. Vis-a-vis.
They have a synonym. Autonomous synonym.
They have
synonym. Vis-a-vis.
Vis-a-vis. Per se. Okay, so here's the deal. They say you've got this autonomous car and you got to program it. There is a hobo like in the middle of the street and you're in the autonomous vehicle is going to hit the hobo.
Hey, what's the hobo doing in the middle of the street? Well, he's laying on a mattress.
It could swerve and miss the hobo, but there's a troop of brownies selling Girl Scout cookies, right? So the autonomous vehicle has to make a decision, kill the hobo or kill the brownies. And they go, that's not the kind of ethical decision that we should just be programming and make it automatic, right? Even though a human being would be making that decision, right? I'd kill those. I mean, the hobo still has a chance. Those brownies, you know, just the hobo could be saved. I don't know about those brownies selling them Girl Scout cookies. Who knows? Maybe that troop of Girl Scout cookies just killed another hobo. Maybe they're a bunch of murderers.
Maybe maybe they were midgets that just robbed a bank, dressed up as brownies. All I know about autonomous machinery is what I've learned in the movies, and that is, if the company that created you has the words sys, gen, sky, or net in their title, we're doomed. So that's all I know about autonomous machinery.
We're safe with Uber.
This is, although just that name Uber is a bit.
Yeah. Uber. So here's so to cut to the chase. So that's the ethical dilemma people talk about, right? They're like, oh, well, you know, you got a machine deciding who gets to live. And it's super rare, right? How often is there a situation where there's a hobo and some brownies, right? Although brownies do sound pretty good right now. Fire a hobo. That's what I'd go for, some brownies. I don't mean the little girls.
Like a hobo,
I mean,
like a hobo sandwich?
I mean the snack.
What do they call it? A po' boy. That's what it is.
Po' boy.
A po' boy. Not a hobo.
A brownie po' boy.
I don't want a hobo sandwich. That's that's not what I want.
That's rock bottom right there. If you're so bad off that you have to eat other hobos, you're pretty bad off.
Well, I was thinking like a hobo sandwich, like they got to keep warm, so they lay together to keep warm.
Now, if you're the hobo being eaten, that's probably worse. things can't get much worse. So here's the thing I came up with, and I've never heard this, so I think I might be the first one to make this philosophical statement. All right. So if you got a situation where fewer people are going to be killed, right? Mm-hmm. First of all, that doesn't automatically make it okay.
Right.
Because you could easily say, well, hey, if we just kill a few Jews, then more Germans get to live, right? All right. So that doesn't make killing a few people for the sake of the masses is not okay ethically, okay, or morally. However, if what you're saying is I'm not killing a group of people that wouldn't have been killed anyway, okay, so it's random. Some number of people are going to be killed in a car accident. If I can make that number instead of 30,000, I can make it 1,000, and I'm not making a determination who that 1,000 is going to be.
Right.
It's just like probably that 1,000 is, they probably would have been killed in a car accident anyway. Who knows? There's no way of knowing. It's totally random or totally too many variables for me to predict. Therefore, that's okay because I saved 29,000 lives by not killing 1,000 people just by saying I can't save those 1,000. That's another way of looking at it. If you got a room full of people and you go, all right, a bomb's going to go off. However, I can make the bomb not as powerful. And instead of killing everybody in the room, all 100 people, it'll only kill 10 of them. And somebody go, oh, hold on there. Is that ethical? Because there's 10 people who are still going to die. You're like, yeah, but it's not going to be 100. I'll save 90. Well, what if your mom is one of those 10? You know, that doesn't seem ethical. That doesn't make sense, right? You look like my family when I start talking at dinner about this kind of thing. I'm like, well, you know, you can know what happened before the Big Bang. It's what's called a singularity. And like before a singularity, you don't know what the laws of physics were. And everybody's just looking at me like,
yeah. I've had those come.
The roast beef is good tonight. I'm like, yeah, the roast beef.
Or they do the. Anyway, they start talking about something else. Or when you're.
There's a sale on potatoes.
Or when you're in the classroom and the teacher asks the question and you think you have the answer and you say the answer and they go, well, yes, but does anybody else have an answer? It's like, I don't want to say you're wrong.
Thank you for that answer.
Yes.
Does anyone else have a different answer?
That's right.
That's different. Speaking of bombs, this one's been kind of quietly floating under the radar. Apparently, there's a serial bomber in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, I woke up to that. I don't really have any information on it. What do you know?
Since when does that stop us?
Right. We haven't even told our listeners what the fuck we're even talking about today. We're kind of like, welcome to the show.
Well, we don't know what we're talking about today.
Why should they have the advantage?
Yeah. Apparently, we're going to talk about bombs, self-driving cars, and, of course, Black Lightning.
That's right.
Oh, they caught the guy.
Yeah, I did hear that. I did hear they did catch the guy, but I don't know anything about anything right now.
I mean, I assume he's a guy. I mean, what woman runs around being a serial bomber? I mean, how often, other than Patty Hearst, how often do they go, they finally caught the serial bomber and her name is Barbara Jenkins?
Yeah, are there any female serial bombers? But I mean, can you really be a serial? Well, no, that's a suicide bomber. Can you be a serial suicide bomber? Well, that one didn't take. So I
It's like, how does that work when you're at the terrorist organization? All right, everybody, settle down. All right, we've heard from the suicide bomber department that a lot of people are a little bit, let's say they're just curious about what their career path looks like. And we heard you. We want you in the suicide bombing department to feel as motivated as everyone else, including the bomb makers, the check forgers, and the guys from Nigeria that scam old people. We want suicide bomber department to feel good about themselves. So we've created a career path and a contest. So next month, the first person to successfully execute 3 suicide bombings is going to win a new
Cadillac.
It's like
Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross. The winner blows up. The loser gets the steak knives and fired.
Third place, you're fired. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers.
Well, while we're on the subject of suicide bombers, this morning, my son, I have to compose myself for this. My son walks to school in the morning. He likes it because it calms him down and it gives him his whole, you know, he can get on with his day that way. Well, he's got this poster that he made for a class. And, you know, his school's like half a mile away and he was worried about the weather. So he wanted the poster to be safe. So I put the poster in a tube. Well, he wanted the ends covered. So I put tinfoil on both ends of the tube, and I wrapped tape around them. And he's like, it's kind of cold out. Can I wear your scarf? I'm like, all right. So I have this plaid gray scarf. So he puts the scarf on him. So he's got his face covered, and he's got his stocking cap on. Now, stocking cap is from it's the Thor Ragnarok hat. So it's got all these weird symbols on it. And he's wearing a black jacket with a Punisher skull on the chest and gloves. And I told him as he's standing there, I'm like, your morning is going to turn into a Seinfeld episode.
Or an episode of Cops.
All I see is you seeing what, you know, you're walking up to school and one of your friends is on the stairs and you're like, ooh, 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 as you're waving this tube. I said, I better not get a call from the school.
Your son has been up to some mischief. He wore a costume to school.
It was, and I told him as he's walking out the door, I'm like, enjoy your 27 goats. Or whatever, I forget what the equation is, because it's not actually virgins, it means goats. So I'm like, enjoy your 30 goats. And I'm like, who the fuck would want 30 goats anyway?
Probably the same guy that has the idea of heaven being like having to be around 69 virgins.
Yeah.
Like, damn, that sounds like a lot of work.
That's a lot of work. I mean, you know, every once in a while, I want somebody who knows what they're doing.
Be like that Peter Frampton song. The first 3 times, you'd be like, this is great. 4th time, you'd be like, really? Again? Do none of you know what you're doing?
You, talk to you. Tell that one what to do. You ladies talk amongst yourselves.
I'm going to be with this one about 40 times.
You ladies talk amongst yourselves. Watch. Yeah, you're like,
black girls, help the white girls.
Oh, Lord.
That's pretty good. Now, my first thought when you sent that to me today.
Because this is what we do, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. The difference between... Okay, so here's white privilege explained in one story.
Mm-hmm.
You thought it would turn into an episode of Seinfeld. If your son were black, you'd be thinking this is going to turn into an episode of CSI.
That's right.
You know, it's going to be ripped from the headlines. The cops shot him, but they thought he had a weapon. Like, well, you can't really. And then everybody'd be like, oh, I stand with the police. You can't. It's dangerous out there. You can't really. I mean, he saw this kid with the. He didn't know he was a kid. He had these strange symbols on his hat. Could have been gang signs. And had his face covered. I mean, who covers their face, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't cover it all. There was a little sliver of brown skin that I could see right there. Anyway, so he's got this skull, probably another gang sign on his coat. And I couldn't tell for sure, but it might have been a hoodie. And then he's got this stick with metallic stuff on it. You can't blame the cop. Cop has to protect himself. He didn't know that wasn't a laser gun or something. He had just seen an episode of Black Lightning, and they had these guns that shot electricity out. How did he know it wasn't that?
That's right. Well,
I stand with the police. They have a hard job. Why are you against America?
Well, the best part is, he goes, well, that's okay, Dad. He unzips his coat. He goes, that's okay, because I've got this shirt on. He's got his Black Panther t-shirt. I'm like, are you kidding me? Old white people are terrified of that movie. Don't show that shirt.
It's going to make it worse.
You got to rip out. Okay, you have a bomb in one hand, and you ripped open your shirt, so God knows what you have under that. You got to show. Sorry. You have this militant, black militant movement.
Just make sure you're walking, like, not cool.
Oh, that would be him.
And maybe sing show tunes.
That would be him.
While you're walking.
He walks like a white boy.
And make sure you're singing Luck Be a Lady Tonight. Try that. Oh, so this serial bombing. Mm-hmm. Okay, back to the serial bombing. They came up with a clever name for the serial bomber.
Well, good, because I hate it when they don't have a good name for, you know, the terrorist or the Unabomber or, you know. Yeah, for the sake of news in Hollywood, you got to have a cool name.
Well, the name they came up with was Serial Bomber.
Really? Well, it's Texas. They're not very... They haven't been original since, like, you know, ZZ Top.
I don't know. So, the thing is, so he mailed his... He was a mail bomber. Or not mail, like FedEx and UPS and stuff, right? I don't know what kind of an idiot mails bombs. I mean, eventually, they're going to notice.
I don't know, though. Here's the thing I've noticed, because I've been sending off a lot of packages lately. And it's obscenely easy to walk into a post office, hand somebody a package, and walk away. Because they have, like, if it's got all the pre-postage on it, they typically have a pile. And they're like, just throw it in there. Okay. I'll throw it in there and walk away. I don't understand how this has not been a thing. I mean, this has been going on for a long time, and I'm like...
So you know how they caught the guy?
Hmm.
Surveillance footage at a FedEx.
Really?
Where he went in and dropped off the package.
I thought it would have been like, is this liquid, explosive? It's explosive. I mean, shit, no. I mean, it's a Cabbage Patch doll.
Liquid, wait, no.
No, no.
Wait, which one is it that I don't get arrested? Anyway, I say good for them for catching the guy. No idea what he was doing. I'll tell you what, though. Here's what gives me faith in humanity. and our society is not breaking down.
Right.
And that is, this makes the news. Now, I wish it had been a bigger deal, like back when the Beltway sniper out in D.C., that dude and his kid were having a father-son moment, went out sniping.
They're like that, the one ad in the old Daisy rifle ad that had the dad and the son shooting the guns, and it's like a father-son bonding moment.
Yes. Now, I wish this Austin thing had been a bigger deal, because I feel like it was like second or third on the list of news stories.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, somebody's bombing up Austin. How come this isn't a bigger story? I thought, well, in the age of, 17 to 40 people being killed at a time in shootings, mm-hmm. I guess a couple of people being killed in a half a dozen bombings just doesn't cut the mustard. Is it cut the mustard or cut the mustard?
Cut the mustard.
Why would you have to cut mustard? Mustard's like...
That's...
You don't cut mustard.
That's the point.
What's the point?
You know how hard it is to cut mustard?
Well, it's a liquid, so not... I mean, it's easier than cutting soft butter. Guess it's going to be that kind of show this week.
It was that kind of show when we signed on.
It was that kind of show. I'd like to think Paul put up a good fight. What did we decide to talk about tonight? We said bombings, self-driving cars. What else? Oh, well, no. What else?
Black Lightning.
Black Lightning. Well, we can't do Black Lightning yet. We got to save Black Lightning for later.
There's got to be something.
And I'm not even sure how great that's going to be.
I don't know. Anything on the page?
Good question. Let me go look at our hashtag Facebook page.
2 hours later.
Hey, Paul. You know what a bomb is? You know what happened? A bomb is just stored energy. And then it's released very rapidly.
Does it? But does it disappear?
The energy?
Yeah.
No. You cannot destroy energy. It's all packed into one tiny spot, and then a very rapid chemical reaction takes place. So rapid, in fact, that it turns a lot of the mass that's in this little package into just energy. And that energy is converted into sound energy. I don't know if you've ever been close to an explosion, but it makes a lot of noise. Heat energy, it's also very hot. Some explosions are extremely hot. You shouldn't touch an explosion because it's hot. And light energy, some explosions have a bright light associated with them. Mm-hmm. And in kinetic energy, it moves, a pressure wave. It moves the air out of the way and causes, for example, if Mel Gibson was running away just as the bomb was about to explode, he jumps at just the right second, and then it pushes him out. Okay. So that is what a bomb is. And as I mentioned last week, no energy is created and no energy is destroyed. So we did have a question on that. We had a confused listener. Mike Vincent says he's confused. He says, what makes my coffee hot? Energy produced by the coffee maker through the cord plugged into the outlet coming from the electrical panel provided by NIPSCO. For those of you not from Northern Indiana, NIPSCO is the Northern Indiana Power Something Company. Power and something. Who sends me a bill for what? NIPSCO, to quote Obama, you didn't make that. So, thing is,
quoted Obama.
Yeah. I never know whether he's joking. Like that would be a funny joke. Like, hey, if energy's not created, then what did NIPSCO do? Right? But I just went ahead and decided to play it straight.
Yes.
Because I thought, even if he is joking, I can still explain how the energy got to him and without having been created. And the interesting thing is, basically, Nipsco is being paid to move energy around for you and to deliver it to you. They're not making the energy. They're just moving it around. Because you can't plug your coffee maker into a lump of coal and have it work. Likewise, you can't, I mean, you go, well, yeah, where'd the coal come from? Well, you can't get a really long cable and plug it into a coal seam down in a coal mine either.
Right.
Somebody, right. And you go, well, how did that coal get energy? Right? It didn't, where did the coal come from? Well, at one time it was plants, like a long, long time ago. That lump of coal was just some plants growing, right? How do they grow? Well, they get energy from the sun, and they use that energy plus water and some crap from the ground, and they move carbon molecules around, and then they die. And when they die, heat, pressure, and millions of years turns them into coal. But that energy that they pulled out of the sun is still in them because it doesn't go away. I should be on that Bill Nye show. That energy, kids.
No. You should not be on that Bill Nye show.
Okay.
Bill Nye has jumped the shark.
I'm going to make this political at some point. So that carbon, which was trapped in the earth, until the white man came along and... and ripped a big gash in the flesh of Mother Earth and reached in there up to his white man elbow, right? And he took his big white man claws and just yanked that coal, that carbon, which was safely tucked away in the womb of Mother Earth. And he rips it out after ripping open her skin. And then he takes it and he throws it into a furnace. Burns it, right? Make all the while making Mother Earth watch. So he rips open her womb. He takes this carbon out of her, and while she's watching, he casts it into a furnace.
This the white man is taking the black thing and throwing it into the fire.
That's
while
right.
The mother watches.
Coal ain't white, right?
Right? Ain't no white coal.
Ain't no white coal making.
White coal was my name when I was a rapper.
It ain't no black man making white coal do his bidding. No, it's the white man making the black thing work for him like he always do. Mm-hmm. Okay?
That's right.
So, do you hear that dog barking? Anyway, it's my racist dog. I think she can hear me talking about
Or you're the freaking son of Sam. You're like, do you hear that dog barking? Shut up! What do you want from me? I want you to kill.
It's the cereal bomber.
Yeah.
We don't even have any cereal. All right. So the white man burns the coal, turns it into, and he heats some water. Water turns to steam, turns a turbine. The turbine makes the electricity, and Nipsco sends it to the house. In the meantime, it doesn't just make heat.
Don't forget, nothing you just heard was true.
It burning that black thing... making that black thing do your work for you, it don't just make heat, it also releases that carbon back into the atmosphere. So first of all, Mother Earth has it nice and safe in her womb. You rip it out of there, you burn it, and you put the carbon back in the atmosphere, and guess what? Irony of ironies, it traps heat. It causes the Earth to warm up. Mother Earth now has a fever. Because the white man reached in with his white man arm up to his white man elbow and took the black coal out of the ground, turned it to white smoke, because white man can't have black things hanging around unless they're doing work. Once he's done with it, he just lets it white smoke up into the atmosphere, trapping heat, and then you get what I like to call global warming. And we're all going to die, and Mother Earth is going to be laughing at us. Well, all the white people are going to die. Black people, brown people will still be here laughing at the white man. Okay, now, all seriousness aside, I believe the global warming problem, as well as the energy problem, healthcare, all that stuff, it's going to be solved by technology. Because, as I said, no energy is created, no energy is destroyed. So all the energy is there. Where does it come from? Comes from the Big Bang. Big Bang happens and it spreads all this energy all over the place in the form of stars, which are basically just giant nuclear explosions. So the sun, all of our energy comes from the sun. All of our energy is solar. Whether it's coal, because photosynthesis caused these plants to grow, rearranged carbon molecules, die, now you got energy. Geothermal is because of the leftover heat from the creation of the earth and the difference between that and the sun. Wind energy. The sun is what causes wind because it heats up some air masses, and those air masses move around because they're different temperatures. Mm-hmm. Hydroelectric. The sun evaporates water and causes it to rain in the mountains, and then the water flows down the mountain. So all energy is solar. It's just we are going about it like a weird, like circuitous route to get to it, right? Photovoltaic cells take the power directly from the sun and convert it into electricity that we can use. There are other ways to do it as well. You can heat your water using a solar water heater. Mm-hmm. So as technology develops, we're going to eliminate all the middleman carbon stuff that goes on, and we'll just use energy directly from the sun. Problem solved. Because of what you said, it's big circle.
Probably about third grade was when I realized that was the only way to go. But this thing gives us everything we need. Why aren't we using it to the best of our abilities? And we...
Technology.
We're the future. We are the future that the third grade me has been waiting for. Problem is we haven't gotten past fossil fuel and coal and bullshit like that. Like you said, we're taking the long way to get there. I subscribe to Lewis Black's philosophy about the only possible way we are ever going to have any sort of alternative energy source is when every drop of oil is sucked from the earth, and then every single teenager has had their face sucked clear of any oil. That is, then and only then will we go, oh yeah, we'll use the sun next. It's unfortunate, but I think we're a long way away from that, because we're only like halfway around that, like you said, the circuitous route. We're only halfway there.
I forget who said it, but some other comedian said, look, I get it. We got to get off of fossil fuels. But you're kidding yourself if we're going to get off of fossil fuels before we run out of oil.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I believe in renewable energy, which means we got to use up all the oil so we can get there. So the faster we can use up all the oil, the better. That's why I bought a Hummer
and an SUV. He's doing his part.
I'm doing my part. What are you doing? You got a Prius?
Yeah.
That barely uses any. It's going to take forever to use it all up with that thing.
I think somewhere in about the first 12 episodes of this show, we had brought that up, that, you know, we have to use up everything before we go, oh, wait, we got to come up with something else. And it boils down to, you know, necessity being the mother of invention. Like, well, we're out of everything else. What next? Oh, yeah, this thing that's been in the sky that has brought everything to this world. Oh, yeah, there it is. Why didn't anybody tell us about this? We could have been using this, you know, years ago.
And that's a good note on which to take a break.
People of the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on that magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Then a beam made of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They passed the limits of imagination to the door to the world of another time. And on the journey of a thousand lifetimes, with the children of the sun, they started to climb.
Children of the sun.
Welcome back to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm a little bit, you know, I was thinking about this during the break. I'm a little bit more of an optimist than I used to be. And I don't know if that's age creeping in or what that is. Senility, Alzheimer's, who knows? But I now believe that, and I've studied a lot more history than I knew before as well. I'm not as pessimistic about the energy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got to read the book. Pauly V mentioned this book. Mm. I'm always making the joke about salt. Because back when Obama and Bush bailed out the auto industry, I'm looking at it going, you know what? The world is passing the auto industry by. You know, there's better technology, there's better everything. And the reason we have to prop up the auto industry is it's like this old, bloated, bureaucratic, old technology,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it caused me to start wondering, when refrigeration was first invented,
mm-hmm,
if the big salt companies were like, oh, you got to bail us out, man. All these people, you know, salt of the earth, so to speak.
Yeah.
Salt miners are going to be put out of business. It's like Trump with his
coal miners. Going
to bring back coal.
Yeah.
Was it Chappelle or Chris Rock? I've watched a lot of comedy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the other thing I forgot to mention that we could talk about if we wanted to. I've watched like 5 Netflix comedy specials since the last time we talked. I don't remember if it was Chris Rock or Dave Chappelle talking about, we're going to bring back coal. It's like, what? And he made a funny joke about it. Like, what do you want to do that for? It's old technology.
Right.
So I do believe before we run out of coal, because there's still plenty of salt. It's not like we ran out of salt and somebody goes, oh, I guess we got to invent refrigeration. No.
Yeah.
And this whole necessity is the mother of invention. I get that. And I've heard that a lot. I'm not sure I believe it. I mean, nobody was sitting around going, damn it. We need a phone that when you turn it, so that's a camera. And when you're looking at the pictures and you turn it sideways, the picture flips too. And then also we need it not to have a keyboard.
Right. I think necessity is the mother of invention was actually relevant when necessity was the mother of invention. But now, because inventing can happen so on such a, anybody can do it. Anybody can come up with the next thing that's, two guys in their garage created IBM. There was no necessity for it, but it changed everything. Right. So anybody can create anything now. I don't think that so much applies, but.
Philosophically, here's the narrow, it's sort of Vincent's razor. We weren't running out of salt. There's a narrow band of circumstances within which necessity is the mother of invention. And that is when there's a big problem that needs to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of entrepreneurs that's basically how they, Elon Musk is like this. Richard Branson is like this. They see a problem, like a huge global problem. Mm-hmm. And they say, I'm going to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
These guys aren't the smartest people in the room. In fact, a lot of times you hear their story, they're like, oh yeah, I dropped out of school, dropped out of college, whatever.
Yeah, but honestly, is education really the benchmark for smart?
Right, right, right. It is for the first 20, from age 4 until age 22 or 18, maybe if you stop after high school. Like, how well you do in school is the benchmark of how smart you are.
I think third grade was the cap.
Yeah, right. So anyway, so these guys go, I'm going to solve this big problem. And then they set about solving the big problem. That is sort of like if you call the existence of a problem necessity. But I look at refrigeration and I go, I don't know. So Pauly V recommended a book called The History of Salt. Or something like that.
Right, right.
I want to go check it out.
Right.
Because I'm fascinated by it. Pauly V is my new name for Paul Volstorf.
I figured, yeah. Well, we used to call each other Mr. Schultz and Mr. Volstorf. Because we'd be at parties. It's like, damn it. Which one are you talking to?
I mean, everybody else has a nickname. A William Wright, SFJ, Pauly V. What's my Uncle Mike, mm-hmm, Uncle Carl? All of our listeners get nicknames. Once you get a nickname, you've arrived.
A lot of them are uncles.
Yeah. So people by this point are going, if you're going to make a point about salt, would you go ahead and do it already? Jesus Christ. It's been 10 minutes and you haven't gotten to your point. My only point is refrigeration came along And suddenly we needed a lot less salt, right, to preserve things. And I'm sure that a lot of people lost jobs and stuff, but it happened a lot more slowly. And so they were able to re-find different jobs, maybe making refrigerators or whatever. And then eventually, you know what? We found another use for salt. We found out that it melts ice. So salt will be okay. You don't need to bail out big salt.
The only thing I know about ice and salt is that when he was young, my grandfather used to be one of those guys that went out on Lake Michigan and chunked up large blocks of ice, and they would hook it up to like horses, and they would drag it across Lake Michigan to the Michigan City's ice factories, you know. And from there, it would go out into the neighboring areas and supply, you know, coolness and refreshment for people all around.
I love that we used to do that as a species and as a society. We used to go, hey, there's the middle of summer. We're like, man, I love iced tea. I'd love a glass of iced tea in the middle of the summer. Somebody said, I'd like a glass of iced tea. It tastes so good in the winter, but I'd like to have one in the middle of summer, right? The other guy goes, man, we got all this ice. Lake Michigan's basically frozen. It's too bad we can't somehow move that ice to somewhere and save it.
If only necessity.
Yeah. Just because one guy wanted a glass of iced tea or some lemonade. And I just love that we said, well, let's go out there, get some big ass saws, cut up some ice, drag it to what we're going to call an ice house, even though they don't exist, but necessity is the mother of the ice house invention. We'll pack a bunch of straw in there as insulation, and we'll see if we have ice in the middle of summer. And sure enough, middle of summer comes around, we still have ice. And I just love that we did that. I don't know when that happened. I want to read a book now about the history of ice.
There's probably a history of ice book. But what cracks me up is, you know, there was a guy, right? And he was sitting on his porch, and he had his glass of tea in the middle of summer. And he's in August. And he's like, takes a sip, and he goes, this tastes like horse piss. Because what would happen? Okay, these horses are dragging these large chunks of ice across the lake, and a horse doesn't give a fuck.
Shitting a horse all over is
like
a ice.
Honey badger. He's like, fuck it. I gotta pee. It's out. I gotta shit. It's out. And that ice can't be so far away that it ain't gonna catch like a wave.
Ironically, iced tea is huge in the South, where they probably didn't have all that ice because it probably didn't make it that far south.
I think the reason why it's huge is because they can have ice now.
Yeah.
Iced tea, I found out through I was watching a documentary on tea, and this is what I do. Iced tea is a distinctly, we can own that shit, because the Chinese, the British, none of them fuckers went, let's put some ice in here. But we got over here and we're like, it's so fucking hot, put some ice in that shit. And they put the ice in the tea and they went, hey, this is pretty good. Iced tea, like rock and roll and comic books, is a uniquely American contribution to society.
You know, speaking of iced tea, Ice Cube, Iced Tea, all those guys, the inspiration. I love this. Netflix is so educational. Inspiration for their names, you know this because you saw the same special that I did. Iceberg Slim, a pimp in 1920s, 1930s Chicago. And I think he made it all the way through the like 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
But he was a super well-known pimp. And he wrote a book, forget the name of the book, but it was basically an autobiography. And nobody's heard of it unless you're black. Something like 85% of black people have read this book. And you can't get 85% of black people to do anything except vote for Obama.
It was like, It was like the white person's answer to a Nicholas Sparks novel.
Yeah.
Like The Notebook. It was the black person's answer to The Notebook.
I want to read it now.
So it sounds fascinating.
For those of you that haven't seen Chappelle's three Netflix specials,
mm-hmm.
especially if, like me, you missed The Chappelle Show.
Yes.
And he explains why he left The Chappelle Show.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't do it directly.
Right. He doesn't just say, this is the reason why. He's very good at what he does.
I love that he did it that way, too, because for those of you that don't know, he had a very successful show back in the 90s.
Yes.
Called Chappelle Show. Dave Chappelle. Yep. It was variety sketch show. Super hilarious.
And extremely popular and netted him a lot of money and a very lucrative contract.
In a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Two seasons.
Yeah.
And they were going to pay him something like $50 million to come back for I don't know how many more seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But there were all these strings attached.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, he freaked out, went to Africa, and basically dropped off the face of the earth for like 7 years.
Yes.
And now, you know, he's doing these specials. I don't know, maybe he ran out of money or something. But, or maybe he wanted to tell his story.
I think that's what it was. He said,
I want to tell my story.
Whoa. Wait.
Quoting Chappelle. I think it's okay.
Wait. Wow.
I think it's okay if I'm quoting a comedian.
Well, also, you didn't use the hard R. So.
No, because I was quoting him. That's how he says it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Unless he's pretending to be a white person. He's like, oh.
Which he's done on his show.
All right. So anyway, so he does three specials. And then the third one, he's like, okay, I'll explain it, but I can't tell you directly. And I believe, this is me now based on what I remember.
Mm.
Basically, we wouldn't understand, especially if we're not black, especially if we've not ever been in that situation, which how many of us have been? So he's like, I got to tell you by telling you this story about Iceberg Slim, the pimp mm-hmm. from 1920s, 30s Chicago. And it's perfect. When he gets done telling the story, I go, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Totally get it. It's like basically everybody go watch it because eventually we'll be talking about it on the show. I totally forgot. I got to watch it again so we can talk about it on the show. But the long and short of it, everybody's in on it except you. Everybody's in on the game except for you. And when you realize it's that everybody's in on it except for you, some people will go, well, I better learn this game and play it. And some people will go, fuck it, I'm out. If that's the game, I'm out.
The name of the book for anyone keeping score is Pimp by Iceberg Slim.
That's a good name.
Yeah.
Speaking of black people, I watched Chris Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I watched two Chappelle specials because I'd already seen the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Ricky Gervais. He's not black, but he is a liberal, so it's getting close.
Wait, I haven't seen that one yet. Is that what was that on Netflix?
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing after the show.
Anyway, let's talk about Black Lightning. We pray at night for the helpless. Pray at night. Hoping you get us through breakfast. Hoping. Wishing somebody come save us. Black Lightning's back. Come to shock the haters. Here's how I know my wife listens to the show. And also, one of the ways I know that she loves me. Or maybe it's you that she loves. Either way, it's fine with me.
I love you regardless. I'm just letting you know.
So this was, I believe, Saturday night. Kids went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Took the kids in. Went upstairs. I think I made some popcorn. Got me a drink. Walked into the living room, into the TV. No, it was Tuesday night. Sorry. I'm an idiot. Tuesday night. Same thing happens Tuesday night around here that happens on Saturday night. Put the kids to bed, go make a drink, make some popcorn, walk into the TV room, and I look, and Black Lightning's on. Oh, she went over to the CW just for me.
That's awesome.
9 o'clock. So I'm sitting there watching it. I'm contributing to the overnight Nielsen ratings. Because I went and checked on that. I went out because I was starting to get a little bit worried. So I was thinking, will there be another season? Mm-hmm. And it all depends on ratings. So mm-hmm. I went, started checking on that, and I thought, now how do they, I don't have any idea how they know. Like, I know how they know how many people watch, but I don't know mm-hmm. if they track. So they certainly track, like, how many people on the Nielsen ratings, whatever, watched at 9 o'clock on Tuesday when it's on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But do they include the people like me that watch it on the app? I'm sure they do. They have to, because the commercials still play.
I don't know so much that it's Nielsen that does it with the app, but I'm sure it is factored in somehow.
The ratings, apparently it's between, like, the premiere, it was something like 2 million people watched the season one premiere.
Mm-hmm.
And it went down after that, but not a ton. And basically the experts were saying, hey, it didn't go down very much and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then it came back up at some point, probably the, you know, the mid-season premiere, mm-hmm. whatever, after they took a few weeks off. It's been kind of going down. It's down to about 1.4 million, which I think is still a lot of people. I wish we could have a tenth of that many listeners.
I would take 1.4 people.
Yeah. You know, if we had 10,000 listeners, both of us could basically do this full time for a living. That's about all it would take.
Okay, so okay, listeners.
Tell 10,000 of your friends.
That's right. So the three of you tell.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. I'm not super confident because the ratings were coming down, and like they might look at that trajectory and just say.
The way you can rest your mind on that is go back and look at the ratings of the other shows on the CW, particularly their superhero shows.
I didn't think of that.
And see what those ratings are, because CW has been doing superhero shows for about 6 years now, and even their worst shows are still in production. And I'm assuming that means that they have similar numbers.
Okay.
I wouldn't worry. Everything gets a second season on the CW. And as my son pointed out to me, because he and I watch one of the shows we watch together on the CW is Legends of Tomorrow, which is in its third season, and it started out as an amazing series. Second season, third season is horrible. And he goes, don't worry, it's just, this happens to every third season on the CW. So, so he's got the formula nailed down. Everything is the second season. So I wouldn't worry about that so much.
So a lot happens.
Mm-hmm.
A lot's happening every week.
Right.
But as predicted, when a little girl found out that she has powers and the dad's Black Lightning, she was pissed.
I told
her. Like you said,
like
she would
I said. And also, like I said, Mike, rest easy. Gambi's okay. Without spoilers, Gambi's okay.
Gambi's okay. He's got that common white man guilt, which is, I knew more than I actually told you because I don't know why. He was trying to protect them or something.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, because he cared for them.
Which is funny because that's the same reason Black Lightning didn't tell his kids that he was Black Lightning.
Once again, the beauty of this show is the main plot and the subplot are metaphors for one another. That's clever, hard-ass writing right there.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing to just tell a story and have something happen and you resolve it at the end. But no, they have two stories going that are metaphors for each other. every single episode does that.
I also like that the cop is now teaming up with Black Lightning.
Yes, they've made him more than just Commissioner Gordon. He's become more into the plot.
He's becoming as Cuba Gooding Jr. is to Iron Man. This cop is the Black Lightning, right? Pretty soon he's going to get a suit.
Right. Speaking of suits, I have to compose myself because I was on the floor, and even my son, because he thought it was hysterical, that dad thought it was funny. Speaking of suits, when Thunder shows up and the youngest daughter is showing the oldest daughter, who is Thunder, the videos, and just like on YouTube, she has reviews, and there was the guy reviewing Thunder's big breakthrough in social media, and he goes, "That ass, though."
Yeah.
I was on the floor. I'm just like, thank you for being so honest and so real. And as ridiculous as that is, it brought it down to reality. It's like,
yeah.
Because no matter how, well, look at Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman, the movie came out, and movie reviewers, the street level movie reviewers, the ones like you and I who were not holy for lowly movie reviewers, we all went, "God damn, look at her," you know, we wanted to be Wonder Woman. But to have the, and I think maybe there might have been some influence from a lot of the Wonder Woman reviews brought into that. But when he goes, "That ass, though," we were just on the floor.
I have this sort of weird relationship with Black Thunder on a couple of levels. One is Black Thunder. It's kind of a male porn, black porn star name.
Well, they're not technically calling her Black Thunder. They're just calling her Thunder.
She is black.
Yeah.
So it's like he's Black Lightning. Lightning and Thunder. Black Lightning, Black Thunder. Okay. I'll give you that one. Whatever. Maybe it's just me calling her Black Thunder. The other problem I have, though... Oh, maybe it's like Black Thunder. Like, did you hear that clap of thunder? What was that? That ass, though.
That's right. It was clapping.
Tell them what else you got, Hart. The other problem I have.
It's only long-time listeners are going to get that joke.
Yeah. The weird thing is, I didn't have this problem when she was sexing it up. When she was lesbian sexing it up, right? I didn't have this problem. Now I have a problem seeing her as a sex symbol, though. Because I think it's because her relationship with her father has developed. Like when we were seeing the lesbian scenes, that was like porn to me because there was no relationship yet.
Right.
But now I'm kind of, I feel weird about her being sexy.
And that's brilliant. And the reason why, because, okay, when that happened, I immediately thought of you because you have two daughters. I have two daughters. We are both males. We go, "That ass, though."
Yeah.
But then we also go, I don't want to think of her like that because the relationship she has with her dad when they're like on the stakeout and how they react to each other and how they're very father-daughtery. And you're like, but I don't want that illusion shattered.
Right. And it's weird though. It's completely hypocritical.
Yeah. And it's one more layer that adds to this show that makes you go, well, you know, it makes you really think about what you're thinking.
Yeah. It'll be super interesting to see what kind of suit. I don't know what her name's going to be, the younger.
Well, in the comics, they called her Lightning. The funny thing was with this episode, and my son and I, we had to pause because we're two big nerds. We had to pause the show when we were watching it, and we meta'd the fuck out of this moment. But when the youngest daughter is talking to the lovely tall drink of water, her mother, and she
like
goes
Nefertiti.
Yes. When she goes, next, you're going to tell me you're Vixen. We had to pause because we're like, okay, we had to break it down because in the CW universe, in the comic universe, Vixen is a character, but we have to look at it in relation to the CW world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Vixen is a character who is on Legends of Tomorrow, which we're like, okay, so that puts her in the Arrowverse, which means this series takes place in the Green Arrow Flash universe because she mentions Supergirl who was from a different world. We were like meta-ing the fuck out of this thing.
That would be a pretty brilliant thing for the CW to do. Maybe they're already doing it and you're going to laugh at me, but I'm not sure another network has taken full advantage of this. First of all, crossovers are huge on other networks, right? I think they now plan on doing crossovers before they even start stuff because I think Chicago Med, Chicago PD, Chicago Fire all came out at the same time.
When they realized the power that the crossover shows from when we were kids had, I think they look back and they go, wait a minute, there was something to that. So let's intentionally do that as opposed to launching, you know, spin-off.
When we were kids, the only thing bigger than a crossover was the Battle of the Network Stars.
Mm.
So here's the thing about the way they do it on the big network, like, you know, Chicago this, Chicago that, you know, Law and Order crossovers.
Mm-hmm.
They make them events and it's very forced. And like the actors, like when they interact, it's kind of funny how they interact because it's kind of like, oh, hi, fancy seeing you here. This is weird. It's kind of awkward. Is this your show or my show? Yeah. Which show are we on?
Who gets top billing?
I think the CW has an opportunity. Don't do the crossover thing. Do the universe thing.
What CW does is every year they do a four-night event in which all four series, because they have Green Arrow, or they have Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Supergirl. Well, now they have five. The first two have been weak. The third one they did just this past TV season was head and shoulders just dynamic. It was fantastic. There was a lot of jokes about how the Justice League movie couldn't hold a candle to the TV Fortnite event. They do this whole big crossover thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this last one was just amazing to watch, and that's why we think that, like, well, how did they know about Supergirl? Well, because Supergirl was in the Arrowverse, and it's a whole lot of crazy shit. But the funny part was in this last episode when the daughter tells the mom, you know, unless you're going to tell me you're Vixen or something, and she's like, busted, and then it was just joking. My son and I were both like, yeah, but, you know, your uncle's Green Lantern. It's like, surprise, your uncle's Green Lantern. So we're waiting for the call from, because John Stewart, who is Lynn's maiden name, is related to John Stewart, the Green Lantern. So we're waiting for that big tie-in.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of spoiled because the one and only comic book series that I've ever read is I don't know if you've heard of it.
Mm.
It's a little title called Watchmen.
Mm.
Okay. And I was just so blown away by how the author created this universe,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not like okay, here's regular world, and ooh, let's plop a superhero down in the middle of it, mm-hmm. right? Like in Superman, the motion picture, like everybody's like, holy shit, it's a superhero, mm-hmm. right? But in Watchmen, it's just like, oh yeah, you know, those, you know, some of them have powers, some of them don't.
I love how commonplace he made superheroes in that story.
Yeah. So what I want to see from CW is something similar, where it's not like, oh, let's do this. The crossover event, I can't wait, right? I'm looking forward, now that I'm a fan of one of the shows, it'll be great mm-hmm. to see the other characters come in. But I want to see something, maybe I'm asking for too much, but I want to see something like, what would a world look like where you have all these superheroes, these characters? Mm-hmm. How are people different? How is technology different? That's what I loved about Watchmen. It's like,
yeah.
He kind of looked at it and said, everything would be different.
Especially when you introduce a person like Dr. Manhattan.
Yes.
Because up until that point, you know, you had guys going out in silly costumes and punching guys and arresting guys. And then Manhattan yeah. comes along, who has godlike powers and changes the entire face of the world, essentially.
Yes. And so that's one extreme, right? But what if you don't have a Dr. Manhattan, but you have a guy that can shoot electricity out of his fingertips, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Now you got this bombing spree down in Austin. How is that different?
Right.
How is school shootings different, you know?
Right.
How does all that change as a result of some humans have superhuman powers, you know?
The responsible thing that I think that Black Lightning is doing is, and in fact it was touched on this episode, was how in spite of there being people there with powers, this shit still happens.
Yeah.
And I think that would actually be the case. I think that no matter, I mean, Superman could come to Earth and want to save us, and we would still continuously be horrible individuals and do terrible things to each other in spite of his, like, lofty goal, lofty mission of saving humanity from itself. We would still destroy ourselves. And yeah. the question is, well, then is it worth it? Well, let's look at our self-driving cars from the beginning of the episode. Yes, self-driving cars would be totally worth it because the human error factor would be gone, lives would be saved. So, if we had people who could shoot lightning or turn, you know, bullets into steam, would it affect us in the overall picture? No, but it would also affect us, yes, at the same time. Lives would be saved, but we would still be the same species we are. We would still be on this hell-bent quest to destroy ourselves.
And I think on that positive note, thank you for listening. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for the hashtag put it on the page.
Yes. Thanks for anyone who is contributing, and everyone, please, the more the merrier. Make this a thing. Make this about you.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell your friends. And you know what? If you don't like the beginning, you can always tell them, hey, it's a good show, but, you know, start it about 30 minutes in because they don't know what they're doing the first half of the show. Or fast forward to 130,000-year-old Mastodon. SFJ has done a brilliant job. William Wright's done a brilliant job of bringing in people we don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more gratifying. We love our friends, and we love seeing that people we know listen.
Mm-hmm.
It's even there's something different about somebody I don't know listening.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
those of you that I don't know, I love you too.
That's
tell
right.
your friends. And don't forget about the big live special that's coming up. Don't forget to watch Black Lightning, because we'll talk about that again. But most importantly, March 31st, sometime in the evening, I'm going to guess around 9 o'clock Eastern time, maybe a little bit later. But we'll tell you as we get closer. We're going to do a Facebook Live. That's your chance to ask us questions live.
That's right.
For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. Nothing.
You just heard. Just heard.
What's true? What's true.
Bullshit.